Blog Talk Radio.
This is what the Rockies have been waiting for. Sports on FM.
Can you imagine?
Well, hello there on a Thursday night, and what looked like it was going to be a landslide ended up being a pretty decent game for Thursday night football, and the subscription-based Prime, that I think the more interesting stuff, my friend John, was the end when they showed all the previews of shows that are dropping tonight and throughout 2024, shows, movies, what have you. So busy night for football this week as we have bowl games every night. NFL is kicking into high gear with Saturday games. And high school football celebrated National Signing Day. National Letter of Intent is what it's called, but Signing Day is what the marketing people at ESPN have done. So got some Colorado kids that actually inked the paper, and we'll see what happens in this modern day of name, likeness, and image. You never know who these guys are going to be. They always say for the next 3 years, as they think they're going to be in the NFL by year four. And then now we have what is the transfer portal, which has kind of skewed things in the last 2 or 3 years. So, all right, my friend, looks like we are live and having a good time so far. So how you doing? I know the Gremlins got us on Monday, but we got a lot to cover. And the hot topic in high school football is this new two-year cycle that doesn't seem to be rubber stamped, as people are trying to complain and get their way for a little movement in a few of the conferences. So with that said, Thursday night wrap-up with John Mullen, college football games, and your Colorado Preps Signing Day activities.
Well, yeah, my friend, I think you pretty much summed it up what we're going to be talking about tonight. I got a truckload of wildness sitting right in front of me right now with all the stuff with the transfers and the signing day, and where we're going to talk about that a lot tonight, and so about some interesting movement of some players. But we're going to start off tonight with the update in the college football bowl game tonight. I'm completely shocked out of my mind on this score. I cannot believe in my wildest dreams. This game reminds me of what happened to the Broncos earlier in the season when Miami put a 70 count on them. But South Florida in the bowl game tonight is leading Syracuse in the fourth quarter 45-0. Syracuse is absolutely laid an egg tonight, and that is bad news if you're a Syracuse fan, because they had some players transfer out and did not play in this game, but they had four key new transfers transfer to their program. I'm wondering if they're second-guessing that move tonight after the way Syracuse has played so far, but that remains to be seen. The Thursday night game, as Gonzo just mentioned a moment ago, very entertaining game. Could have gone either way. The Los Angeles Rams tonight, very important win as they beat New Orleans 30-22. And I don't know if the fans had watched the game on television tonight on Prime. But they showed the $700 million man getting a jersey from the Rams fans, but Shohei Ohtani, the great baseball player who's making all those bucks. And I guarantee you, Gonzo and I, we love what we do, but you know what? We're in the wrong business. We should be Ohtani, both of us. We can kind, have definitely earned $700 million for the outstanding program that we've been able to give all of our fans out there this year. But they showed Ohtani on the screen with that new Rams thing. So that was an interesting thing before the game. And then L.A. tonight, Gonzo, went out and beat the Saints 30-22. Unique game for the Saints and Saints Nation. You can't blame that loss on Derek Carr tonight. The problem with New Orleans the last month is their defense has gotten leaky, and they haven't been able to run the ball at all. leading rusher for the Saints tonight was Alvin Kamara, 19 yards. That's not going to get it this time of the year. I know this all year long, all levels of football is pass happy anymore, but in December, you got to be able to run it. If you want to get to that Super Bowl opportunity in February, you got to run it, especially with the bad weather and bad weather games in December. You got to be able to run the ball. And the New Orleans was not able to do that tonight, and the Rams went on to the win. Some of the key statistics in that game, Carr ended up 27 out of 40, 319 yards and three touchdown passes. He did have a tackle on defense, and he had to run a guy down after he threw an interception, but a 106.1 passer rating for Carr tonight. Matt Stafford has been red hot the last month. Another outstanding game tonight, 24 out of 34, 328 yards, two touchdown passes, and a 120.7 rating. Stafford has been a big key in the Rams' comeback over the last month or so to get them back into the playoff picture. And then the running back from formerly out of Notre Dame, Kyren Williams, tonight, 104 yards and a touchdown, was really running well. He's now over 1,000 yards on the season. Big reason why the Rams won tonight. And then the guy who took over for Cooper Kupp, who got injured earlier in the year, Puka Nacua, had a great game with nine catches, 164 yards and a touchdown. He's been on a lot of fantasy teams here in recent weeks. Nacua, an outstanding game tonight, Gonzo, really found space, hurt the New Orleans linebackers tonight. The Saints had all kinds of tough times trying to cover him. On the other side, the former Ohio State star Chris Olave had nine catches, 123 yards for New Orleans, continues his outstanding season on the year. And several more stats on that before Gonzo gets his take on what we're going to talk about as far as the weekend games in the league. Ernest Jones, the outstanding combo lineman for the Rams tonight, had a quarterback hit, a sack, two tackles for losses, the pass, seven tackles, was active, was all over the place running Saints players down. Was great. Former Bronco defensive back Isaac Yiadom had seven tackles for the Saints tonight. Played very well in the secondary. Paulson Adebo for New Orleans on the defensive side had a pass defense and 11 tackles, including nine solos. He played outstanding defensively for New Orleans tonight. And then the Rams' new kicker, Lucas Haversick, had three out of four field goals and three out of three extra points for 12 points. Haversick, in his last two games, Gonzo's kicked a total of 24 points. He's been really effective for them, and they've needed all of those points. As the Rams now go to 8-7 on the season, right in the mix in the NFC playoff picture, as the Rams tonight on Thursday Night Football beat the New Orleans Saints 30-22.
Yeah, glad you mentioned all that. Good content, good stuff. And boy, it was kind of like a snooze fest until late in the game. But that's why you watch it all the way to triple zeros. And I thought, oh, here we go again. Maybe another overtime game. And boy, what are you getting out of Derek Carr, I guess, is my biggest question. You know, did the Raiders really, you know what they had in store? Or was this a situation where, you know, the price tag was just too much and they wanted to go on the cheap? That's the biggest question I have. And then it looks like on the flip side with the Rams, they've gotten a bargain. They're getting back to their winning ways. And I guess now with this added wild card and teams and 17 games, 18-week format, it's really turned heads. And I kind of wonder if when the player development happens, are they going to be really thinking about expanding the roster with a lot of these Thursday night games? Because I know Players Association really doesn't like them. But the Rams squeak it out. You know, it's like kind of like in high school sometimes, you know, when you put in too many substitutes at the end, the gap lessens. You know, so, you know, it ended up being a tight score, but it was pretty much one-sided for the most part. So Looking forward to Saturday's games, John, with Bengals and Steelers. You know, that's the big rivalry game. And then Bills and Chargers, and what kind of team are we going to get out of the Chargers? So I think Thursday night football is going to be exciting. I know we have a holiday coming up on Monday, so probably going to spend time with my two sons, my mom and dad, and my cousin. We're going to, you know, pause the show on Monday to Thursday, and next Thursday we got my Jets against the Browns, and can they pull one out? So, again, Thursday night football, a little bit more exciting towards the tail end. That's why you watch it all. And just kind of excited that we're rolling into the portion of football where you can watch football every night. You know, not too much high school is pretty much done with in this state, but you're rolling into signing day with the high school guys. You got Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday games in the NFL. And so bowl games every night, and a couple of six teams that make me question if bowl eligibility should be a winning record of at least seven, you know, games. But based on how the fans and the TV showing, it didn't look like there were very many fans in the stands for this one game, John. And I'm not sure what you thought about that at all. But NFL should be interesting. I know we're getting into the tail end here as we are in week 16 officially as of tonight. And we're going to have a lot of fantasy football action happening most likely this week and next week because a lot of teams sit their players in the final week. So you really don't try not to have your Super Bowl in fantasy league, but you never know. You never know.
Most definitely. And there's going to be some guys missing as far as fantasy league players are concerned for this weekend. And that's why I want to talk about this weekend's NFL schedule before, of course, Gonzo and myself are going to get into the meat of the National Signing Day and a lot of these transfer players. Boy, the stories on internet and wires this week have been just infiltrated with all of that kind of stuff, with all kinds of player movement. And Gonzo and I are, of course, going to be talking about that here during the show this evening. But when you take a look now at this weekend's NFL games, Gonzo just touched on the Saturday games. Boy, if that Cincinnati at Pittsburgh game on Saturday afternoon isn't important, I don't know what is, because that game's going to impact six AFC playoff contenders in a big-time way. Now, if you're a Bronco fan, who do you root for this Saturday, Cincinnati or Pittsburgh? Cincinnati's at 8-6. Pittsburgh's at 7-7. Broncos are 7-7. And all likeliness, Bronco fans might want to have Cincinnati win. Yeah, they would go to 9-6, but any loss that helps the Broncos is a beneficiary to the team as they try to make that playoff run. One thing we do know, this weekend's Saturday game, big implications, obviously, but both teams are going to be missing major players. And if you're a fantasy league fan, like, of course, my broadcast partner is, it'll be a big loss for you. But Ja'Marr Chase, the great wide receiver, has had a great year with the Bengals, will be missing that game this weekend with an ankle injury. And on the Pittsburgh side, Kenny Pickett, the quarterback, will be out. Mason Rudolph will be starting. That changes the dynamics on what Pittsburgh wants to do. And, of course, the great T.J. Watt, the Pittsburgh defensive lineman, is iffy for the game on Sunday with an injury. And if he can't go, the way the young quarterback Jake Browning has played the last several weeks, I would have to give Cincinnati an edge in that game. And then Gonzo touched upon Buffalo at the L.A. Chargers. What kind of Chargers team is going to be out there? Gonzo hit it right on the nail. If I'm the Chargers, I'm running Austin Eckler, and I'm running whoever I got to run at him, because you don't want to get Josh Allen started after the game that he had against Dallas last week. Humongous game. And now one of the million-dollar questions for the rest of the regular season, is Von Miller going to get even one sack this year? That's the big question. And Buffalo, James Cook, the running back, has had two monster games the last 2 weeks. He had 170-some yards against Dallas last week. The Chargers' run defense is going to have to show up at home and make sure they stop him. And then they're going to have to go chase Josh Allen and be physical with him moving forward in that game. And that'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff on Peacock on Saturday night. And then you talk about the Sunday games on Christmas Eve. Big game, Indianapolis at Atlanta. Atlanta choked last week. Atlanta's on life support. Got to get a win to get back close within the playoff race. Big game for the Colts. I'm sure for Bronco fans, they would like to see another loss in the Indianapolis column on that. Big game there. And then the noon games on Sunday, Seattle at 7-7 at Tennessee. What does Tennessee have left in the tank? Derrick Henry looks about finished. I'm thinking he's wanting out of Tennessee now after the season. So that'll be an important game there. In the NFC, humongous game now after the Rams win tonight. Detroit is at Minnesota. The Vikings at 7-7 now hanging on in the playoff race. They would like to get a big win at home against Detroit. Of course, the Lions coming off the big win against the Broncos last week. Jared Goff continues his insane season for Detroit passing the football. Amon St. Brown has 94 catches for just under 1,200 yards. He's been great this year. Minnesota's defense is going to have to play him honest on Sunday. And then also one of the noon games, this game is going to be one that players are going to be playing for contracts for next season. You got Washington at the Jets. Now, New York did activate Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers obviously will not be playing since the Jets have been eliminated from the playoffs. I think for Jets fans this weekend, they need to see something offensively by several players. Their line is going to have to go after Washington, get physical, and can dominate. I think the Jets can beat Washington because the Commanders now are finished. Sam Howell's been benched. I like the Jets in that game on Sunday. Green Bay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gonzo.
Yeah, man. You're loving the Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. I'm liking that. A little salty loss last week. I'm still feeling the wound from the last game. I think the other team is still scoring.
Yeah, but I like their chances. Washington has just faded away into the moonlight the last three games. They've been really struggling, so I like the Jets in that game. Green Bay at 6-8 on life support at Carolina. Got to get a win to get to 7-8, and then they might have a chance after the last 2 weeks. But they got to get back to playing good. Jordan Love needs to have a really good game on Sunday in Carolina. And then here's a humongous game, absolutely humongous in the AFC. Cleveland at Houston, 9-5 against 8-6. We need Houston to lose. Even though Houston obviously beat us with the tiebreaker kind of thing running wild now, Cleveland needs to get a win to get to 10-5 and put Houston at 8-7. That's going to be a big, big game. Turnovers and defense are going to be huge in that contest. And then you got this game, Jacksonville at 8-6 now. At Tampa Bay, leading the NFC South. That division is going to be crazy going down to the last week of the season. I think Bronco fans would like to see Tampa Bay win that and get Jacksonville to 8-7 and then really throw a monkey wrench into the AFC playoff picture. And then you got in the NFC, I know some of the fans probably don't care in this area about the game, but again, it's another game that they're going to be playing for contracts. And in the case of Arizona and Chicago, what is going to happen to Kyler Murray? What is going to happen to Justin Fields? Are they going to be with their respective teams next year? Both Arizona and Chicago are now in transitional mode heading into 2024. And then the Sunday afternoon game, which is going to be an absolute beauty. Oh, my goodness. They're going to be talking about this game until the cows come home. Dallas at Miami. Talk about playoff implications in the higher up parts of the NFC and the AFC, both at 10-4. Dallas coming off that shellacking, and Miami playing good. The big question for the Dolphins this Sunday is Weddle and Tyreek Hill going to be back in the lineup. Weddle hasn't practiced much this week because after that great game he had last week, he's had an ankle issue this week. And Tyreek Hill's got his ankle issue, so that's going to be up until game-time decisions on those two great wide receivers. Big game there. And then, of course, the Sunday night game as New England at Denver against the Broncos. It's really simple mathematics. It's like Simon says, Broncos go win. Will they win? They must win. They got to win, get dominant, get physical. Belichick's going to have a plan. But Denver's got to go out and play Bronco football in front of their fans. It might snow Sunday night, might be interesting in the second half. But Denver needs to win to get to 8-7. There's no question about it. A loss, bye-bye until 2024. And then I'm sure if you're a fan of the band NSYNC and Justin Timberlake, if the Broncos lose on Sunday, they'll probably play over the PA system after the game. Baby, bye, 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 bye until 2024. So that's where that's at. And then you got the three Monday night games. All fascinating. The Raiders at Kansas City. Raiders playoff hopes on the line against the champs. What kind of effort are the Raiders going to be able to put up against Patrick Mahomes? If I'm the Raiders, I'm looking at the tape of the way the Jets played defense against Kansas City earlier in the year and maybe figure out some things. The Raiders are going to have to play sound football, not turn the ball over, and try and create some pressure on Patrick and get him uncomfortable. The New York Giants at Philly. Philly needs to get a win and hope for a Dallas loss to get back to the division lead in the NFC East. Big, big game, and the Giants have played better in the last 3 weeks. The young guy, DeVito, has become like an obsession in New York. He's the talk of the town. There was a billboard on him the other day dressed up in an unbelievably wild-looking suit. He looked like he was on the cover of GQ magazine, but this guy has come out of nowhere and has played great football the last 3 weeks. And then the other Monday night game, wow. W-O-W, big time, and some people are saying this might be a Super Bowl preview. Baltimore at San Francisco, holy cow. Great defense. Christian McCaffrey is now in the talk for MVP along with Purdy. Lamar Jackson's been playing good. The key for Baltimore now the rest of the season, they're playing that great defense again, and Lamar's doing his thing. With all the injuries they've had at running back, who's going to come out of the pack to be the lead running back for Baltimore heading into the playoffs if they want to make a run towards the Super Bowl in February? That's going to be their bugaboo unless somebody comes out of there with all the injuries they've had. But Baltimore, a really complete team, and what more can you say about what San Francisco's doing? It's not only McCaffrey, it's not only Brock Purdy, but it's been Brandon Ayuk. Kittle is back healthy at tight end again. Deebo Samuel has been a rock and roll star for 3 weeks. Man, if you're not watching Baltimore at San Francisco on Monday night, then you need to be spanked and sent the timeout and go do some other kind of thing. Enjoy Christmas night with your family. But if you're a football fan, that is the game you want to see this weekend. Baltimore and San Francisco going to be off the rails.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you, the beauty about it is I will be cooking early, and it's going to be buffet style on Christmas Day. So originally planned on 11 o'clock, but I have to squeeze in brunch at 10:30 and graze with the TV on since we have an 11 o'clock game. But how cool is it to have a holiday that a vast majority of people celebrate? I know Hanukkah's going on. Some people don't celebrate, but if you're an NFL fan and you're getting three games when you have a Monday off, I guess the only downside, there's a lot of people saying that it's going to work on Tuesday, so a little rough, but yeah, it is what it is, and I'm loving it. I'm just simply loving it because it just gives the opportunity for people to see more games, and I think that's the big thing. It's kind of like college football. When you get down to the nitty-gritty the last two or three weeks, all of a sudden everybody's watching. You know, they might not have watched the first 9 or 10 weeks, but they're definitely watching the last couple of weeks because you have a holiday and Thanksgiving and, you know, big rivalry games and such like that. So I think with Monday having three games, I'll be the first to admit, John, I don't recall ever having Christmas Day with multiple games, especially since kind of like the NBA kind of ruled the roost for years with their Christmas games. So it should be fun. It should be exciting. I think you hit the nail on the head with, you know, must wins for teams, you know, keep hope alive. And I know I mentioned it before, but I don't think I've ever seen this competitive of a wild card and just divisional race in a long time, really long time. So wasn't a big fan of the wild card, but when you add an extra game to the season and then you add an extra team for the wild card, why not? You know, and that's why we're extending the Super Bowl all the way till basically mid February. The Super Bowl is on February 11th, which happens to be my birthday. So what a treat. Anybody wants to give me Super Bowl tickets? I'm all ears. I know, John, you're gonna dive into that gold watch fund that you got from years ago and grease me with a couple tickets, right?
If I could get my act together somehow here at the beginning of the year with no more interference, like I've been dealing with my computer over the last week and a half, I would love to get an opportunity to get my best brother. And he's been like Gonzo's been like a brother to me this year. I know he and I have struggled with some things to get to certain points, and I know we're going to take care of each other hopefully before the beginning of the year, and we can get some things straightened out. But I can't say enough about my broadcast partner and his family, who I want to wish a very, very Merry Christmas, obviously, too. But his sons, Ty and Zach, they're two great, great guys. He's got great sons, and they've been fighting, scratching, biting, and clawing to try to get to certain aspects of their lives now moving forward. Of course, Zach not only played outstanding football, but he's a rugby star too. And I know he's been fighting tooth and nail to get some stuff going for himself. He's a great young man, and I wish nothing for the best for him and for Ty, because these are two young men who's got a great father. They get it. They just need a nice, nice break. We need to get back to niceness and integrity as a society back in the early 2024. But, a lot of people right now are suffering mightily. We just want everybody to have a nice holiday season now here the next couple of weeks, and hopefully build momentum into 2024. I had to say that and get that off my chest, because my broadcast partner has given me the opportunity to get somewhat back into this business, which has been a big part of my life now for over 40-some years. I've enjoyed our time together talking about all of this important football stuff and all the changes going on with rules changes and transfer players and so on. But him giving me this opportunity to work with him this season has been an extreme blessing. I'm extremely grateful to my broadcast partner. I love him to pieces. And he's one of the real superstars in our state as far as communications and broadcasting is concerned. When I call him, and I'm not – now, don't get me wrong, fans, I'm not pulling up to him and so on and so forth. I'm not milking or stroking his ego or anything like that. It's a friendship. It's a brothership. It's talking to you fans about what's on your mind as far as where we're going with football here in the next couple of years. We're talking about players this year. We're talking about teams. We're trying to give you a really complete diagnosis on what is happening, and especially if you're a football family or a football fam, doesn't matter if you're a young kid, a male or a female, and there's a lot of female football fans out there who have really grasped the football, and I think a lot of people can thank Taylor Swift for that, because with her relationship with Kelce, it's giving a new meaning for the ladies out there and the wives out there, a chance to learn more and enjoy the game of football. So in all aspects of it, it's a terrific year, and it's only going to get better now with bowl season in play and the NFL playoffs around the corner. It's a great time to be a football fan. So I got to thank my broadcast partner very much for this opportunity, and hopefully I've been able to supply at least a little bit of niceness and lightness on what we're doing. And if you're not liking what I'm doing, you can certainly text Gonzo at 303gonzo.com or give him a text or something and express your feelings about me. I can take negativity. I've taken it my whole life, so it's nothing new to me. I'm glad the fans have taken to my broadcast partner, because, see, his opinion on all issues matters. That's why he's the host. He is Mr. Football for a reason. What he talks about is spot on each and every show. So if you're not listening to him, then you need to go back to school class number 101. You'll get a valuable lesson if you just listen to what Gonzo has to say, because what my broadcast partner has to say matters.
Well, Gian, thanks for the kind words. Expecting that, pretty heartfelt, so thank you. Yeah, I'm going to celebrate Monday with the family, family first, and you never know what your expiration date is, and you know, I got an 82-year-old father, 76-year-old mother, so God bless their souls that they're still alive and kicking, and we get to reminisce about the good old days, and believe it or not, they're not the biggest sports fans, but they try, so it's always interesting. And thank you to you and Joni allowing you to do what you do and give us a lot of background information, some insights, some history, and chatter about guys from yesteryear. And the reason I mention yesteryear is it just seems like it's been a very busy week with some of the coaches and athletic directors posting the players in high school of where their intentions are. So even though we do have one more day of this early signing period tomorrow, it looks like a vast majority of it's going to be the JUCO transfers and possibly grad school transfers. So I know, see, you made a big deal about signing a top player, but I don't think as of when we went on, he was signed yet. There was rumors he was going to Maryland, but we shall see about that. And then we got a coaching carousel going on, John. I mean, Castleview opened up in 5A. We knew about Overland, and then Eagle Crest, Schmidt once again leaving the nest. So it's kind of awkward that we had Marsh come down with his son and the quarterback, and then we had a guy from Kansas, that came, and we thought Schmidt was going to come back, but it's just Grandview and Cherry Creek kind of dominate that area, and not sure if this is on your list of things to talk about, John, but I'm hearing that there's some rumblings about people not liking the way that the new two-year cycle is going on in Colorado high school football, and Mullen doesn't want to be in the developmental league, and they want to replace, Valor in what was formerly the Jeffco League, and then Valor would go to where Regis' spot was in the Southern League, and then Regis would end up with Smoky Hill spot in the Centennial. And then Smoky Hill might end up with the spot with Jay Madden and Legacy, as long as Jay's still there, because everybody's jockeying for an upgrade, or unfortunately, there's been some assistant coaches have been let loose. So kind of crazy what's going on with high school football, even amid the celebrations of a couple dozen players that are actually going to play Division One, or, you know, what we used to call D1AA football in our era. So I think it's an exciting time. We get to talk as much as we want, and we got some fine people that listen, and hopefully as we move into next year, we'll have a little bit more positivity. Got my buddy Big Bill's joint earlier in the week, and lo and behold, the girl came in the wrong door, came in the outdoor, so that's what you get. You know, people don't read. They just do what they do. And as I was getting ready to leave, I was like, hey, how you doing? You know, she was a big New York East Coast transplant, and we started chatting a little bit, and I said, you realize we were just giving you, you know, we were busting your stones about coming in the outdoor over by the coach's table, and she's like, I had no idea. And I was like, yeah, well, you know. So she's from New York, she's from Long Island, and talk about a shocker. Doesn't know anything about sports, could care less about sports, had no clue that most of the guys at the table were former basketball coaches or players. And she just came because she heard that was the best New York pizza in Colorado had to offer. And she was treated by me to some cheesecake and loved it too, and gave her the rundown of a few spots. But she did say that she knew people in New York, you know, in D.C. and stuff like that were a little rude. But she really thought, and only being here for 2 months, that Colorado had some really rude, angry, mean people. And I know that you mentioned we need positivity in 2024. So I think we're doing a good job of surrounding ourselves with some good folks, John. Obviously, you and I get along real well. And we just got to send some good vibes out there. You know, people are struggling. I get it. But you just have to be nice. You know, just little extra effort, maybe open that door for the old man, the old lady, you know, the ladies in general. And, you know, don't try to run people over just because you're in a hurry. Doesn't mean that you can't slow down and let people cross in front of you, or let them merge into the lanes. And don't be one of these guys going 110 on the on-ramp and try to scoot across three lanes of traffic. And just be safe. I know today was a heavy travel day for a lot of people, and I know that not two people are spending a whole lot of money. They're trying to keep the money close to the vest and the mattress, whatever, because as you and I both know, in the last 3 or 4 years, cost of living here in Colorado has gone up, and so has food pricing. So, you know, that when you're getting hit for $10 or $12 for a burger nowadays, it's a little rough, but it is what it is. We plug on. We're still looking for sponsors. We got a guy that's called Renew Remodelers that's kicking our tires, John. So Renew Remodelers, what they do is they do construction, you know, anything, mostly home remodels, basements, backsplashes, the kitchen. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens with those guys. And, you know, if it's affiliate and referral program and we can get some people to do that. A couple car dealerships, you know, kicking our tires, a haircut joint. So as I get a little older, I don't get as many frequent haircuts, John, because it's thinning up there a little bit. But at least my conversation is not thin. And we've got three styles of sports, high school, college, and NFL professional. And who knows, maybe we get involved in this USFL, XFL coming up in April. So I'll leave that wide open, but before I forget, enjoy your holiday weekend. Not sure what you're doing, but sounds like we're going to get some snow on Saturday night, maybe Sunday night, and it's going to be a little chilly and a little white out there, so hey, why not?
Yeah, and I agree with all of those sentiments wholeheartedly. I want to wish all of our fans out there throughout Colorado, even our friends in Wyoming, Nebraska, and Utah are tuned into the program. I just want everybody out there to have a nice, kind, safe holiday season. Take care of one another. Give each other hugs. Tell your loved ones how much you love you. And we need a reconnection, because what has soured me this year has been the violence and bad refereeing in football. We need to get rid of those two things heading into 2024 and get ready for the good stuff. So I'm in agreement with what Gonzo was just talking about. What I want to talk about real quickly before we get into the college football and the signing day part of it is if you happen to be a fan of the Denver Post newspaper, there was a very big story in yesterday's edition. If you get a chance to get a copy of that paper, there was a story in there by a buddy of ours, and I've gotten to know him a little bit over the last several years. One of the writers for the Denver Post, Kyle Newman, wrote a very important story that you need to read if you're a football fan. It's a story about how college football's transfer portal is killing high school recruiting in the state of Colorado. This is a story you must read if you're a football fan, and especially if you got a young son playing high school football in the state of Colorado, getting ready for college. This is an important story that you need to read. So if you get an opportunity, if you've got it already, great. If you haven't gotten a copy of yesterday's Denver Post, I will advise you to pick that up and read that story by Kyle Newman in the Denver Post. It's going to be eye-opening and ear-opening story for you to read. So I just wanted to pass that along. But as we talk about what Neon Deion Sanders, old Coach Prime, has been doing, Gonzo, this week, this man has been busier than beeswax with what he's doing, and he's lost some players, but he's brought in some interesting people. I'm just going to go over quickly some of that list from National Signing Day the other day. And one of the ones that wasn't on this list, but he might be flipped either in Oregon or Nebraska. He might end up signing in February, but Austin Seton, a big offensive lineman who they've been talking about, did not sign, even though he was prominently on ESPN yesterday putting on a Colorado shirt. Don't know what's going to happen with him now, but Deion needs to fight for him because Seton is a beast. This guy is a flat-out monster blocker, and they need him in the offensive line next season. But the high school commitments that we know of at the moment, Brandon Davis Swain from West Bloomfield High School in Detroit. It's a four-star player, defensive end. They're going to need him to be an impact guy early next season because the Buffaloes struggled with putting pressure on the quarterback this year. Another four-star athlete who can play three positions. Young man's name is Cam McKell. He's from Statesboro High School in Statesboro, Georgia. This guy's a four-star player. Nice athlete, can play three positions and also can contribute in special teams. Another four-star player from Silsbee, Texas. And why I mention that name, Silsbee, Texas, is former bodybuilding champion and Guinness Book of World Record holder, former great professional wrestler Mark Henry, is from Silsbee, Texas, just outside of Dallas. Well, this guy is Dreon Miller, a wide receiver from Silsbee High School. This guy is a go-getter, and he kind of reminds me a little bit of Travis Hunter, speed-wise and being able to make plays out in the open field. He's going to be a big player for them. And then the two three-star players that they signed, Gonzo, was Eric Brantley Jr., a defensive end from Valdosta High School in Georgia. This player can play both end positions, so Deion has a nice opportunity to play him in the spring at both end positions and see where he might fit in to the Buffaloes defense. And their other three-star player is Micah Welch, a running back from Baldwin High School in Milledgeville, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. This guy ran for over 1,600 yards this year for Baldwin High School. This guy is an elusive running back and has got great vision. He's kind of a different kind of a mold player like Austin Eckler of the Chargers, but has obviously way more speed. And then when you talk about the transfer portal players, Anquan Barnes, a three-star player from Alabama, from Montgomery, Alabama, defensive tackle. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him. A junior from University of Indiana who transferred to Colorado, Khalil Benson, an offensive tackle from West Webb, Mississippi. This guy goes 315 pounds. He can play both tackle positions. And then a four-star player from Waxahachie, Texas, from Liberty, transferred from Liberty, who went undefeated this year. His name is Preston Hodge. He's a cornerback slash safety, very athletic talent. From Houston University of Houston, a graduate player, offensive guard Tyler Johnson, 295 pounds. He can play both guard positions, so that's another luxury that Deion's going to have with several of these players who can play multiple positions. Transferring from UTEP, Justin Mayers, an offensive lineman from Frisco, Texas. This guy can play on both the left tackle or guard position. Just depends on what they want to do with him. And then the graduate from the University of Cincinnati. He's from Florida, former high school All-American. Shimon Mateer, tight end. Boy, did the Buffaloes struggle late in that season getting the balls to tight ends. This guy could be a very big impact player. He's a star athlete. And then from the University of Houston, defensive tackle Shidozi Nwankwo. I'm going to probably botch that name all next year. But this guy has a chance to be an outstanding player at defensive tackle, and he also can move to end. And then from the University of Pittsburgh, transfer guy, defensive end, Samuel Okunlola. This guy is an American Samoan from Hawaii. This guy has a chance to be an impact guy. He'll have 2 years of eligibility remaining. And then a transfer from TCU, who ate up Colorado even though we beat TCU this past season. But he had monster stats in that game, Gonzo. I don't know if you remember this. But he's the wide receiver, Cordale Russell. And this guy's got 4.4 speed and is willing to take a hit over the middle. And with Shador getting the football to this guy, he's going to be a major, major dude. And he's got 3 years of eligibility remaining. He was an outstanding freshman player for TCU this year. And then from your neck of the woods, and I know you've talked about on the program this year, Vanderbilt a few times. Well, Will Shepard, their outstanding wide receiver, is a four-star athlete. He will be considered a senior with 1 year of eligibility this coming year. He's the senior wide receiver transfer from Vanderbilt. They can stick him into that lineup someplace, and he's also an outstanding kick returner as well. And then Vanderbilt had a sophomore quarterback who I think is an intriguing guy. Walter Taylor III from Jackson, Alabama, has a chance to make some major statements. He will probably obviously back up Shador, but can learn under him next season and then be a player for them in 2025. And then a sophomore transfer from North Carolina State, wide receiver Terrell Timmons Jr. from Greensboro, North Carolina. This guy had 45 catches in only five games this year for them, Gonzo. Averaged nine catches a game. He missed some time this year with an injury, but if he's healthy, he's an outstanding player. And then a sophomore from the University of Kentucky, quarterback from Tennessee, Spring Hill. I'm sure you know that that little town and city. His name is Destin Wade, outstanding player. Going to be a good quarterback one day. His twin brother, Keaton, also transferred. Keaton is an outside linebacker. He has a chance to make an early dent, and he'll have 2 years of eligibility remaining. The other two guys on my list tonight is a junior transfer from Connecticut, Yakiri Walker, a center from Dallas, Texas. He will also have a chance to make a name for himself. possibly budge into the starting lineup next year at center for Colorado. And then one of the more interesting athletes, sophomore transfer from LSU, he's going to have 2 years of eligibility remaining. He led LSU in sacks this year, defensive end Quincy Wiggins. And this guy has a chance to be a real star in the Big 12 next year. He was outstanding the last month and leading the LSU defense. We obviously know what Jaden Daniels did, the quarterback who won the Heisman, but Wiggins was LSU's defensive stud in the last month of the season. So Deion has done some yeoman work with these high school commits and transfer guys coming in. But here's a question that I know my broadcasting partner is going to have, and I have a thought on this. On the high school commitments, no high school players from Colorado recruited by Deion. That's going to be interesting down the road. What's going to happen there with the Colorado commits who seem like they're going out of state or they're going Division II or smaller school colleges? We're going to be talking more about those kind of players when we talk about CSU and UNC. But I'm going to let my broadcast partner give his thoughts on this class and about the CU recruitment of Colorado players moving forward here in the next two-year cycle.
Well, John, it's tough. I mean, for a long time, Colorado was a flyover state. We've amassed close to 6 million people in the state now. There's people coming from, you know, left coast, west coast, you know, and right coast, east coast, and, you know, all in the middle in the mix. And, you know, it's a different world out there. I mean, you used to be able to be a 6'2", 6'3", offensive lineman. Now those guys are monsters at 6'5", 6'6", 6'8". And you speak about kids leaving the state. The big 6'8" fellow from Arapahoe, I believe, went to San Diego. South Dakota. You know, he's a little bit of a project, and you know, you're going to have to get it. But again, at 6'8", you know, you really can't coach size. So that was interesting. You had the kids from Erie. But I think what you're seeing at CU is they took some chances on some local players for a while, and they just didn't really pan out. And so when Deion came in to clean house, you know, everyone got a little hurt. But, I mean, this is no different than when Lou Saban was at LSU and ended up at Alabama and there was a turn in the tide. You know, these guys aren't making, you know, paltry money anymore. They're making big-time money, so they got to win. And I think, did Deion do the right thing? Well, it's like anybody else. You come in and you got to get rid of the dead weight, and you got to surround yourself with people that want to win and build a winning culture. Now, this year, you know, grabbing a center in the portal, being at game three, second home game of the year when a local product, a Cherry Creek kid, played center to fill in. And when asked about if how well he did, he said he didn't watch the tape and hadn't reviewed the tape yet. But I just have a feeling that he was talked into some of the players that are local on the roster and didn't pan out, or, you know, just didn't flow to his brand of football. And once you move into, like, School of Mines, you unfortunately got blasted for the championship game, and they're taking some of the smart guys. So these guys, even when they graduate from college, are still going to have a damn good education and maybe be the future coaches that roll up the sleeves and volunteer. But when we talk about Fort Collins, you know, their coaching staff for the most part was more about Northern California and surrounding areas in that northwest corridor. That now they got a taste of success, so they're going to do what they need to do. So I think there's a lot going on with the transfer portal because the coaches need to win now. And when you look at Shadur, I believe he was the most sacked quarterback. So they're beefing up the offensive line, and they're getting reserves on top of it all. So maybe, you know, the goal is for Shadur to pass for 4,000 yards, and he's having these monster games. Look at the running attack going, because I think that was the biggest pitfall, is they really didn't have a balanced offense. You know, it was more of hogging the ball and stats. And, yeah, the kid's good and everything like that. And I really think that Shedeur is going to be a number one pick in 2025, but he still has some growing room to do. You know, he's kind of on the path of someone like a Josh Allen was that didn't project until, you know, way late in his senior year or his final year. He's not a Lamar Jackson by any means, but speed does kill. So I can just see Shedeur being the favorite in next year at this time, who's going, you know, one in the overall draft pick. So, you know, the high school sports, you know, Greeley took a real hard stance at some of the local kids. I do know that based on the game that we put together and the list for recruiting Colorado, that they were targeting at least 13, if not 15 guys. And they'll continue to recruit their backyard because it's easy for them to attend games or see those guys come to their campus because, you know, in this day and age, there's not a whole lot of people visiting northern Colorado or even Wyoming for that fact. They're coming down to the Denver metro area where there's more of a vibe and hipsters and stuff like that and travel to the mountains. So if you're not on that path, you know, you might blink eye and not get visited. But I will tell you, if you decide to go up north, Stuckey's, the big gas station chain and great place to eat. John's coming to Johnstown, so I think they might be opening real soon, so that should be fun. But college sports, it's just at the point now where you got to win, and if you don't, you're going to get bounced, and it's all about the money nowadays. This NIL, name, image, likeness, you know, these guys are sitting back collecting some big dollars, and it's no different probably from the envelopes that they used to get, you know, on the slide in years past. It's just more open and vocal, and some of the guys that didn't know what was going on are still getting some goodies, so you can't go wrong with that. So. But
yeah, and I'm glad, Gonzo, you mentioned the NIL, the transfer quarterback, Dylan Raiola, who signed with Nebraska. He today signed a big, humongous NIL deal, and he's sort of the talk of the town now in Nebraska. And boy, has Nebraska been busy with the high school recruits in the transfer portal this week too. Coach Rule's been just like Dion, busier than beeswax, on the phone scouting, doing all kinds of things. Nebraska has really put together something crazy too, and they're not done yet. They're also waiting for three guys to sign in February. A couple of those guys might be flipped to other teams in that conference next year. But yeah, Nebraska has been busier than beeswax too. But I wanted to talk about real quick, and I'm glad you mentioned UNC. These are the players that signed on National Signing Day on Wednesday that are going to be playing for Coach Lamb for UNC next year. And boy, what a tough year it was in Greeley without winning a game. They got to get that thing transitioned quickly if they want to compete in the Big Sky next season, because you know the one team from the Big Sky, Montana, playing in the national championship game in FCS one this weekend against South Dakota State. That game is going to be an absolute classic. Defense is going to win that national championship for one of those two teams. But looking at UNC, Gonzo, these are the players that signed. The first player is a free safety from Eagle Crest High School, Cam Chapa, who can play both safety positions, either free or strong. So that was a big signing there. Trace Edmondson, the offensive guard tackle from Legacy, who played great for Jay Madden this year. He also is a recruit, and they're thinking that this guy may make such an immediate impact that he could be a starter on their line in 2024. And then a young man from Fountain Fork Carson High School, Lincoln Fa'apuli, an offensive lineman who could play two line positions for them as well. That was a big signing there. Corey Jackson, an outstanding athlete, he's also a track guy from Eagle Crest, as a cornerback, he signed his letter of intent. And then Brody Judd, the tight end from Broomfield, who led Broomfield a couple of years ago to the state title and had a great year this year, he got recruited as a tight end. He has a chance to make an immediate impact as well. From Ponderosa High School, strong free safety combo player, Carson Keach, who's from Parker, he got recruited. Miles McClarity from Fountain Fort Carson High School, again a combo player. He's an athlete, Gonzo, that reminds me of the old classic days when Nebraska played big black defense, or a linebacker who could play both safety positions, be like a rover, hits like a tank. Well, McClarity is one of those kind of players. Blake Palladino from our friend Coach Woj's team with Dakota Ridge, linebacker, quarterback. The big question is, what position does Coach Lamb want him playing, linebacker or quarterback? That's going to be an interesting $500,000 question there. And then another Fountain Fort Carson player, running back Matthias Price, who had a tremendous year this year for Fountain Fort Carson, won over 1,400 yards. He has a chance to make an immediate impact because the running game for UNC struggled mightily this year. And then from Brighton High School, cornerback Jackson Kwame can play both cornerback positions. I probably see him at right corner playing for UNC. And then from Westminster and Moore Park Junior College, wide receiver, and I love this guy's name. Sounds like a tough guy. MMA fighter football player. River Stout, wide receiver. This guy has a chance to be a good player, too. And then that from Mountain View High School in Loveland, and he's originally from Orem, Utah. His name is Laviatu'u Tu'aki. Boy, that's a tough name to say. Another one of those Hawaiian Samoan guys. He's a safety from Mountain View High School. He has a chance to be good. And then probably the best of the bunch, Gonzo, because he had over 130 tackles this year playing at Green Mountain, had a tremendous year. He's also another one of those combo rover guys who can maybe line up a little bit at defensive edge rusher. Young man by the name of Blake Westland will probably be on the All-Colorado first team in Class 3A when they make that announcement next week. But Westland has a chance to get into that linebacking core. Don't know if he will start, but could see valuable playing time in situational football. But Westland has a chance to be an outstanding player here in a couple of years and even make a major impact this year as a freshman. So that was the UNC lineup of players who got signed their letters of intent a couple days ago. Oh, no, don't jump. G-Man, can you still hear me?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is absolutely crazy. What's going on with I'm just kind of checking my notes here with the NFL and college and, you know, everyone's releasing schedules and such. And, boy, I'm really looking forward to the Big 12 schedule drop because now CU is going to the roots of the Big 8. We're going to see a little bit more interaction. I think we're going to see a lot more travel because, like, on the recruiting path, when you're within 800 miles of a city, you get a lot of fan base, you know, because that's driving distance. You know, most people will jump in a car and drive 5, 6, 8 hours to get to a destination, spend the night, and go back home. So that should be really fun, and I'm looking forward to, hopefully in college, that we don't have any more of these worthless Friday night games because, you know, like I was talking to my dad, he said, boy, you know, in Texas, they'd shoot you for having college games on a Friday. You know, Friday is sacrilege. That's where you spend all week busting stones on the players that are going to play on Friday night lights, and then Saturdays, hope to see those same guys stay within the great state of Texas and play for the team. And when we talk about these name, image, likeness things, you don't realize how much big money is involved in that. And when you're coming from a state that has a lot of oil money, there's a lot of people that are willing to contribute and get the best players. I mean, I saw Arch Manning made $3.2 million. Not a bad chunk of change for a backup quarterback that, you know, didn't play. And then in the NFL, now I mean, these guys are going down left and right. I think, you know, we have at least eight quarterbacks, you know, that are backups that are playing and in it to win it here towards the tail end. So a lot of premium in college and the NFL to get these players going. And saw that Michael Penix, your boy Michael Penix, he's autographing in Seattle for $79 a whack. So kids making some money with that name, image, likeness. Way different than 1999 when I was toting Terry Bradshaw around for 3 years. And he was getting a whopping, I think, $70, John. So, you know, yeah, who knows what he got at Louisiana Tech when he was a kid. So, yeah. Kind of funny, John. You know, a lot going on. You know, with Belichick. You know, we didn't really touch base on that, but here's a guy that might be looking for a new job or a new home come 2024. And for the most part, January 7th, that's it. You know, like my dad would say, "Fin is yakavo." You know, finished, done, and over with for a lot of teams that didn't make the playoffs. And we've got the run this week and. It should be interesting to see how the chips lie there. As far as the college recruiting, I mean, I think you're going to be looking at CSU Pueblo and maybe Greeley, if you're a local kid, as your best options. As we're getting a lot of influx from some of the coaches that are coming from a coaching tree or from the South and the way that they had it get done and the way that they wanted to get it done. It's about winning now. And, you know, you talk about Sanders and his kids and nepotism or whatever. You know, they're usually, if not the best player on offense and defense, they're right behind a kid named Hunter. So, you know, number 12 is a special young man, and we should find out how interesting it's going to be and if Colorado will really ramp up the whole Heisman hype of both those players. And you might be able to tell me more so than I recall, but I'm not sure if there's ever been two players on the same team that deserve to be in the Heisman race. I mean, I'd have to go back to maybe some dueling running backs or maybe a running back and a quarterback in the heyday, like Southern Cal or something. Or, you know, I remember you had Charles White and you had Billy Sims, and, you know, there's just so much history. And then, I came across a photo with the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner, Archie Griffith. So he's out and about doing some signings too, because you know, the relics like us that to remember yesteryear are having a lot of fun. So hopefully that was a little breakdown of what's happening, John. I said it's probably going to be busy here as we roll into 2024 to figure out which of the local high school coaches end up where. And if people really pound the fist on the new two-year cycle, and I know that you've been having a lot of time on your hands to do a little research on that two-year cycle, and was there any more further developments, I mean, for you? I mean, I know that they're changing some names of some of the conferences, and a team like Pomona that had been 5A for a long time is going to 3A, you know, but nothing's concrete. And are they voting on that in January, or are they going to wait till April, or what do we got going on there?
Well, I think what's going to happen with this, Gonzo, is I'm still shocked at the fact that they moved Erie up to that northern in 5A. I don't know about that, because now with Barnett graduating and some changes going on with the St. Vrain Valley School District, and they've got that thing all a mess. I don't know about Erie in 5A. I think Erie belongs in 4A and stays there. They've been talking about Frederick moving up to 5A because the population and the schools in the Lafayette, Erie, Frederick, and the Broomfield areas changed so much in the last year and a half. It's affecting a lot of things, the way they want to do these cycles and the other classifications with all these teams in northern Colorado, and then you got the new schools that have been built over the last couple of years, the Timnath and the Wellington and that kind of thing. It's going to be a wild time. I think a lot of this stuff needs to coincide and get done in February, in and around the time where you're going to have more of the football players signing for National Signing Day. Chass has got to get their ducks in a row by the time they have the Chass the Hall of Fame event here coming up in January and February. I don't envy Mr. Kruger, the commissioner, and his and the football committee on trying to put all of this mess together. And you brought up a great point earlier. They got to get the Mullen situation squared away. That thing's a mess ever since the Dave Logan Clement thing. I don't know what direction they're going to totally go, but they moved Brighton up. I don't understand that at all. So there's about a half a dozen of these teams that need to get situated, that is, Gonzo, properly before they make the final decision on this new two-year cycle. Because, see, even though football is football, this is also affecting the other sports that are participated in, because you got most of the schools in one classification. And then in Erie's case, they're going to play 5A football and softball, but they're going to be 4A and everything else. It just creates real complication mess. Either you got to stick with one or stick with the other, but you can't keep bouncing these teams around like crazy. The two-year cycle, I think, needs to be changed. I'm not liking the direction we're going with this. We're in the 2020s now. We're trying to help kids and be progressive. I'm not seeing the progression. I'm just not. You called me an old man, called me an old fogey. But with everything happening in society anymore, and it affects not only kids' performance on the football field, but you're talking about your education too. First and foremost, before you even play football, you better be in that classroom and getting an education. And what I'm seeing in education, these kids have more time off on breaks than being in the classroom. Is that the way we want to go? So there's a lot of questions to be answered, and I think a lot of those questions hopefully will be answered in February.
Yeah, the wildness of everything coming to a head right now. Teams finding their hot streak. The Rams, the Broncos. Hey, there's hope for the Jets. But I think what we finally realized in the NFL is there's definitely three, possibly four teams this weekend that have no shot. It could be more. You know, there's algorithms and what's happening. But I'll tell you, I'm looking more forward, John, to the James Madison Air Force game to see what the Air Force has got. And there were some commitments to the Air Force yesterday by some local kids, too. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, every night football game, you know, nice distraction, especially when we talked about how society's gotten a little bit more mean. And maybe sometimes it's just nice to be humbled, stay home, relax, enjoy some family time, and recharge the batteries. And I think that 2024 needs to be a better year. And, you know, some of the coaches are going to have to, you know, kind of settle down a little bit. You can't be chasing the dollar all the time. And, you know, whether it's these name, image, likenesses, and the kids making money, I just hope that we're not seeing used to call rotisserie baseball, you know, where you used to pay for players back in the day before it was fantasy league. So, at some point in time, it's like, are we overvaluing sports rather than education? Because they used to trade athleticism in for an education. You get a good education and be a good community person and someone in the city that cared, you know. And if you made a few extra bucks, you shared the wealth. So I think the Titans at Seattle is another one where, you know, Titans are faltering, but they need to win. And Seahawks got to keep hope alive. So when it's all said and done, John, we got so much going on in this world right now. And we're fortunate enough to be talking about football, our bread and butter sports. I know you really like basketball and you like the volleyball. And you participate in quite a bit of the high school activities, and you actually take your hard-earned cash and pluck it down to get into games. So kudos for you for doing that for so long. And it'll be nice to actually see this Coach Prime series. Yeah, I did catch at least one episode, and it's just hard for me to, you know, wait week by week. You know, used to do it as a kid, you know, and you had to have a show and you'd, you know, watch it once a week, but you got spoiled when you can download all of them and watch them back to back to back and just binge watch TV. So I'm going to be binge watching football this entire weekend, and it's going to be really interesting to see the Final Four at the first of the year, or I guess more like the second of the year, because believe the game's on the 8th, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun watching to see who ends up being the champion, the jewel of college football this year, and how all these kids are starting to bail on their teams to go to the combine. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to the fun, and that's about all I got for the night, John, because it's been one of those weeks where lot going on, and I think my New Year's resolution is to give up on anybody that you got to dial 40 buttons to get to another 40 buttons, and then eventually 45 minutes later you might get a human, and then they transfer you into another 40 button, and then, you know, by the time it's 2 hours later, you find out the real deal to your subscription or your blog talk radio show, or you know, they overcharged you for your internet and you're trying to get your money back, or, you know, just made a simple call to find out, where's your order? Cause I ordered this thing 3 weeks ago and didn't get it. So I need something, for people to open on, Monday. So yeah, it's a lot out there, man, but, yeah, just exhausted, you know, my friend. It's, been a whirlwind trying to catch up with, who's going where and who didn't, you know, sign. You know, there's some players that I'm still scratching my head. They haven't made an announcement, you know, kind of in the know where they were trying to choose. Fun times ahead. Fun times ahead.
Most definitely. And I wanted to go commend you what you were talking about a few minutes ago about the CSU situation. And those kids out of California, and there's been some big news out of Fort Collins this week. Obviously, the big news for CSU is their quarterback, the young guy Nicolosi, who played so well against Colorado, is coming back. Torrey Horton, the great wide receiver, is coming back for another year, his senior year. And with this week's signings with CSU, we start right off the bat real quick, Gonzo. Two major names were signed by Jay Norville a couple days ago. Chatfield safety Dagan Myers. Now, if that name sounds familiar, he is the son of Greg Myers, the former CSU great athletic Hall of Famer, who won the Thorpe Award during his playing time at CSU. And a lot of people don't remember about Greg Myers. He had a nice little career for a while with the Cincinnati Bengals at safety in the National Football League. The other big name is Ralston Valley defensive lineman Jack Moran. He is the son of Sean Moran, who's also in the CSU Athletics Hall of Fame. Both of these players have a chance to make an immediate impact for Jay next season. And some of those players that you talked about from California who signed, probably one of the hot commodities going. He's from Newberry Park High School in Newberry Park, California. He's a four-star receiver by the name of Landon Bell. This guy is Torrey Horton, too. This guy can go and get it, and he'll be able to study Watson, Torrey Horton play, and who knows, he might have a chance to make some plays, not only at wide receiver, but he's also known as an outstanding kick and punt return guy too. So remember this name for them next year, Landon Bell from California. And then another player from Lakewood, California, Edmari Binion, a defensive lineman, 300 pounds, also has a chance to be good. He recruited a quarterback out of Long Beach, California, Darius Curry. He also going to be playing for CSU. Another defensive player who can play defensive back and safety from Oxnard, California, and Rio Mesa High School, Chance Harrison, a combo defensive back slash linebacker rover type. Again, I talked about this Nebraska Classic Day thing. Here's another guy who could fit that kind of situation. And then from Etowanda High School in Fontana, California, linebacker Jaden Landrum, about 245 pounds. This guy is quicker than lightning in a bottle. He has a chance to make an immediate impact at outside linebacker next spring for their team. And then from one of the great high schools in California, Bishop O'Dowd High School, has always had those great matchups from Mater D, who's always been in the USA Today national champion thing, according to USA Today. But an offensive lineman, Berlin Lillard, 6'4 and 310 pounds from Oakland, California. This guy's got a chance to be a beast. And then a defensive back who the University of Oregon is still possibly waiting on to get flipped. But CSU did sign him at the moment. He's from Tualatin High School in Oregon, A.J. Nolan. Defensive back, can play both of the cornerback positions. And then from South Pasadena, California, Philip Ocon from St. Francis La Canada High School in South Pasadena, an offensive lineman. And then another very, very intriguing player. And this guy I've seen on tape this year. They played one of those non-conference cross-state things with Colorado earlier this year. Young man by the name of Jordan Ross from Warren High School in Anaheim. This guy had 102 catches for 1,385 yards this year, one of the leading receivers in all of high school football in the country. This guy has a chance to be a stud. And then several local players, Gondo, from Chaparral High School, originally from Scottsdale, Arizona, is Keegan Schenck, defensive lineman who played very well for Chaparral this year. And then from Thunder Ridge High School, three-star player, offensive lineman who could play two line positions, Zach Smith from Thunder Ridge, also signed with CSU. And then one more of the players from California, and he is from Hawthorne, California, played at Lawndale High School. Defensive lineman combo player, his name is Trajan Townsend. This guy might be Von Miller too. Extremely fast, has a great nose for the football, can get to the quarterback, and for Lawndale High School this year, Gonzo, this guy had 106 tackles at defensive lineman and 12 sacks. This guy knows how to get to the quarterback. So Jay Norvell got some pretty nice players for his team this year. And one more guy I want to mention real quick is a young man, a running back from Malvern High School in Benton, Arkansas. His name is Jalen Dupree. He also has a chance, not only an impact in special teams, but could get specialty plays at running back for them next season. So Jay Norvell did a pretty good job, and some people, including 24/7 Sports and ESPN, has said that CSU in the Mountain West had the number two recruiting class in the entire Mountain West Conference. So CSU did a great job in the last week or so, and they still got a couple of players who might sign for them in February. So kudos to all the local coaches. And then, of course, my man Cole Gaddis from Longmont High, the linebacker running back signed at Colorado School of Mines. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you don't see Gaddis sometime next season taking over for Noah Roper as possibility seeing a lot of playing time at the running back spot for Mines next season.
Yeah. I don't know, John. That's kind of a wrap for me of the night, man. I'm just soaking it all in. I got the ESPN ticker tape going just to see what's going on, see what games are coming up, and looking forward to the trip to Atlanta to see my buddies Penn State and Ole Miss, who I like all season long, and see a couple teams that down the stretch just didn't get their job done. And I think that's the biggest statement in line that you hear from Belichick of do your job. And, you know, he didn't coin the phrase, but he sure did, emphasize it. And so to see a guy possibly not going to be on the sidelines next year, it's going to be a little rough as far as coaching in Colorado. Everyone thinks it's all about 5A, but I think we saw some great ball at 4A, you know, even 2A, 3A. And I guess the watch is going to be on for the other Manning. Marshall Manning is currently a seventh grader, and he'll have one more year of youth ball. Seriously, doubt they hold him back or anything like that, but, crazier things have happened. But it looks like he'll be trying to find a home about this time next year, and it'll probably impact that school of where they go and how many former Broncos will have kids right now that might have their kids enter high school football and try to flip the script and change it and become about winning football games. So, gonna have to check and see where we're at. We're almost close to the bump there, John. So, any parting words? I know you're probably getting ready to queue up Jack Reacher, right?
Something like that. I'll probably end up tonight before I hit the sleeps. Got a big day tomorrow. Probably you will watch the television show Funny You Should Ask with John Kelly, the host, the guy who used to be a co-host on the show Extra. Love that guy. The comics are funny on that show. But I'm glad you mentioned the Mannings. I want to leave tonight's program before we get into next week's show on Thursday, and I'll have a lot of 300 of ESPN, including some athletes who I know Dion's been after. But another big question in the off season is, where is Arch Manning Cooper's son going to finally end up? Is he going to stay in Texas, or is he going to move someplace? That's a big, big question that for the Manning family moving forward. We'll look forward to here in the next few weeks to find out what might happen with him. And like you were mentioning throughout tonight, we talked about a lot of players that are transferred or transferring now. Some are going to sign in February, but we look forward to more of the bowl games this weekend and the NFL games Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I want to wish everybody out there tonight a safe, a kind, and a soulful Merry, Merry Christmas, and hopefully a great start to your year in 2024. We're at a crossroads in our lives, and I just want everybody to reconnect, have a great time spending time with their families, have a conversation. Be nice and kind to one another. Take good care of each other and be safe first and foremost, and have a great time. And as I mentioned to my broadcast partner, I want him and his family to have an extremely kind and soulful Merry Christmas, especially Ty and Zach. And to all of you who have followed Gonzo and myself all year this year, we thank you for listening all the time. We're going to be back next Thursday talking more about the implications of NFL playoffs, which is right around the corner, and more of the bowl games and the college season leading up to the semifinals in January. So we got a lot to go. We've had a great time so far this season, and we certainly appreciate everybody listening in tonight. So thank you all very much, and to all of you, Feliz Navidad and Merry Christmas.
All right, man. I like that little flavor, little zest there. All righty. Like I close the show, always, two fingers. Peace out.
This is what the Rockies have been waiting for. Sports on.
Gonzalez. Here we go again. Another edition of Football Friday Night Lights. I'm your host, @303Gonzo on Twitter, @303Gonzo.